Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, the last line. Tanur Banan, Ezohi Mitzvat Aseishas Van Grama. What is a time-bound positive commandment, which we know from the Mishnah means that a woman is ptura from doing that mitzvah? So the Gemara here gives examples of those mitzvot. Sukkah, lulav, shofar, v'tzitzit, v'tfilin. All of these items, all of these mitzvot, are mitzvot aseishas van grama, that are time-bound mitzvot, and therefore the women are pturot. As Rashi notes over here with regards to tefillin, that it has to be according to the one who says either Laila loves man tefillin, that nighttime is not the time for tefillin, or the other opinion, which is that Shabbat and Yom Tov are not the time for tefillin, and therefore tefillin are relegated to only certain time periods where you are chayav, and so because of that, they're deemed to be a mitzvah taseh shazman grama. With regards to tzitzit, it's a little more complicated, because as Tosafot points out, first of all, there is a daya in the Gemara in Menachot, that it's a chuvat amana, that the tzitzit is an obligation on the beged, and not an obligation on the, and not an obligation on the individual. Then, it's never a mitzvah aseh shazman grama, because it has to do with the mana, the actual beged having tzitzit on it, and nothing to do with any time constraints. On the other hand, if you think that it's mitzvah agavro, if you think that it's an obligation of the individual themselves, then you could say that it depends on the opinion. And here we have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who believes that it is only a mitzvah during the day, but ir patur mitzitzit balayla. Nevertheless, Tosafot shitato argues over here that maybe even that's not a mitzvah aseh shazman grama, because there is a machloket rishonim as to when we say that tzitzit is only an obligation during the day and not at night. Does that mean that day and night are the determinants of whether you're chayav in tzitzit or not? Or is it ksut yom and ksut laila? That if you wear clothing that's day clothing, they require tzitzit. And if you wear night clothing like pajamas, then they don't require tzitzit. Tosafot the Shittatam mentions over here that the obligation is on ksut yom, on clothes that you wear during the day. That obligation applies whether during the day or during the night, and therefore it would also not be a mitzvah taseh se'azman grama. In the end, Tosafot, to answer all these questions, says something that redefines really what it means to be a mitzvah taseh se'azman grama. He says, Vomeri, kevin shechiyuvo tali bama shehazman garam levishata. Because of the fact that the obligation stems from something that is time constrained, bayom, because it's only clothing that is worn during the day, yesha lechashev zman grama. That causes it to be under this rubric of zman grama, shezman levishata gorema chiyuv. Because the time period when you wear that clothing, meaning it's a day beged or something you're normally wearing during the day, that deems it to be chayav, and thereby making it to a mitzvah aseh shazman grama. Now, there are two assumptions here in Tosafot, one of which causes the problem, and another assumption in his answer. The first assumption is the fact that the obligation of tzitzit is relevant by ksut yom and ksut laila, and not yom velaila. If you thought the obligation was determined by the day and the night, then you wouldn't have this problem, because really then it would be a time-bound mitzvah. Only during the day are you chayav and tzitzit, not at night. In addition, Tosafot's solution to the problem is a machloket within the Rishonim as to how to define mitzvah aseh shazman grama. Where Rashi, earlier on Daf Chavtet, said that a mitzvah aseh shazman grama is a mitzvah shazman gorem lavo, something that time causes it to come. The mitzvah is generated or precipitated by time. On the other hand, over here, Tosafot changes that definition and says a zman grama is not necessarily a mitzvah taseh that is triggered, caused by time to come about, but any mitzvah that has a time constraint associated with it is called the mitzvah taseh shazman grama. So that is a slightly different definition of mitzvah taseh shazman grama, and that has impact on the Gemara back on Chavtet as to how you look at mitzvot like the mitzvah of milah and the mitzvah of pidyon haben, whether they are considered to be mitzvah taseh shazman grama or not. And we had that discussion back on Chavtet, as well as the Rishonim's view of that back then. With regards to Sukkah, Lulav, and Shofar, it's much more straightforward, because those are things that happen only on a seasonal basis when those Chagim come about. Those obligations devolve upon the individuals, and those are clearly time-bound, positive commandments. Now the Breita brings examples of mitzvah aseh shelo hazman grama. Ezehu mitzvot aseh shelo hazman grama. What are examples of positive commandments that are not time-bound? Mezuzah. Putting on a mezuzah on the door. That has to do with having and owning a house. Nothing to do with the time, or it's not triggered by time in any way. Makeh. Also an obligation on the house. If one has an area on their roof, which is exposed and people can fall off, the obligation to put a fence around it. Or if someone has a pool in their backyard, the obligation to put a fence around that to protect from people entering into those areas. Avedah. If something is lost and you find the Avedah, the mitzvah of Hashavat Avedah devolves upon everyone. There is no timing with regards to that. And therefore, women and men are equally chayavim in that mitzvah. Shalach HaKen. And sending away the mother bird when you want to take the eggs or the young chicks. Again, there is no time constraint or time trigger to the mitzvah. It happens to be that it's a mitzvah that only happens when you find yourself in a certain circumstance, but that circumstance is not connected to time at all. And therefore, these are deemed to be mitzvot asei shelo azman grama. Now, Tosafot asks a very fundamental question over here, and the answer of Tosafot, as well as the answer of the other Rishonim, have tremendous ramifications, as well as help us get a better fundamental understanding about certain principles in Shas. The question that Tosafot asks over here is, many of the mitzvot that are listed here as being non-time-bound positive commandments are actually mitzvot that not only have a mitzvot asei associated with them, but also have a mitzvot lo tasei associated with them. For example, the case of Makeh. By Makeh, it says, Lo tasim damim bebeitecha, that you have to put up a Makeh so that blood is not spilled in your house. Meaning that it's a preventative measure, but there's a mitzvah lo taseh, which says, do not allow someone to be injured or affected by this in your house. Avedah. We also have the restriction by an avedah, lo tochal lehitaleim, that you cannot pretend like you don't see it, or you cannot avoid dealing with the avedah. And by shiluach hakein, we also have a mitzvah lo taseh, which is lo tikacha im al banim, that you're not allowed to take the chicks or the eggs while the mother is present. So they all have a mitzvah lo taseh. So, irrespective of the fact as to whether the woman is chayevet in the mitzvah tasei, Tosfot says, she be chayevet in the mitzvah because there's a mitzvah lo tasei over here. And we know that men and women are equally chayavim when it comes to mitzvot lo tasei. And therefore, Tosfot says, I really don't understand why the Gemara brought these examples. So Tosfot's first answer is that you can find manifestations of these mitzvot tasei where the mitzvah lo taseh does not apply. And Tosafot goes one by one through each of these cases and shows how you can come up with a circumstance in which only the mitzvah taseh is relevant and not the mitzvah lo taseh. Then Tosafot gives a different answer which precipitates an explanation, which is maybe the nafgamina here has to do with the principle of asei docha lo taseh. That is a positive commandment that one has overrides a negative commandment. So we have this apply in numerous situations in Shas. One of those is the mitzvah of tzitzit. The mitzvah of tzitzit requires in certain circumstances one to violate the mitzvah of kilayim, but the mitzvah of tzitzit overrides the mitzvah lota say of kilayim. So what Tosafot suggests over here is that if you have these mitzvot that both involve a mitzvah to say and a mitzvah lo taseh, if for the woman you're able to remove the mitzvah taseh, then all you're left with it is a mitzvah lo taseh. And therefore, if you came into a situation in which you then had a mitzvah taseh coming up against that mitzvah lo taseh, we would invoke the principle of asei docha lo taseh. So for a man who's obligated both in an asei and a lo taseh, we can't invoke that principle, because the Gemara tells us in other places that yes, asei docha lo taseh, but an asei is not docha, an asei v'lo taseh. So for instance, by Shabbat and by Yom Tov, where there's both a mitzvah asei and a mitzvah lo taseh, over there we don't say that a positive commandment comes and overrides Shabbat, or a positive commandment comes and overrides Yom Tov. And what Tosafot suggests over here is if the woman is deemed to be Torah because it's a mitzvah asei shazman grama, or even if we said by mitzvah asei shazman grama that they were Torah, then that would rid us of the mitzvah asei. All that would be left here is the mitzvah lo taseh, and then you could invoke the principle of asei docha lo taseh. And so what Tosafot says is that now that would be an afkamina here about whether the asei exists or not. Tosafot in the end rejects this. But Tosafot in other places in Shas, as the Rabbi Kiva Eger points out to you, that you should see the Tosafot in Chulin keeps this principle. Here, Tosafot wants to know that in a case where you have a mitzvah asei and lota asei that are associated with a particular mitzvah, does that change the nature of the lota asei? When we say that an asei cannot be docha, an asei and a lota asei, is that because the asei and the lota asei together are just too strong? And since they are too strong, the other asei cannot overcome them. But if you were to rid yourself of the asei, like Tosafot is suggesting over here, you could invoke the principle of asei docha lota asei. Or the other way to formulate it, which Tosafot over here brings down and concludes in this manner, is that the asei tells you something about the lo tase. And that means that when you have a mitzvah that involves both an asay and a lo tase, the asay tells you that this lo tase is not just a regular lo tase. It's a super lo tase because it also has an asay associated with it. So that would mean that even if you were able to remove the asay, the lo tase would be still too strong and a lo tase for you to be override that lo tase and to invoke the principle of asay docha lo tase. For that reason, Tosfot answers the question that here is that's raised by the Harav Rabbeinu Yosef me Eretz Yisrael, which is that what happens by Yom Tov? By Yom Tov, where the mitzvah tase associated with Yom Tov is a mitzvah tase shazman grama, and you have a mitzvah lo tase not to do malacha. According to this principle, if you were to drop the asay because it's a mitzvah tase shazman grama, the only thing that would be left is a lo tase by Yom Tov. And that means for a woman, you'd be able to invoke the principle of asay docha lo tase by Yom Tov. Yet we don't find any opinion like that in Sha'as, and we don't find any position that advocates saying asay docha lo tase by Yom Tov. So Tosafot, in the end, comes to the other conclusion that when you have an asay and lo tase together, it actually affects the lo tase, makes it a stronger lo tase, and because of that, asay is not docha lo tase. That's the way that Tosafot answers the questions that are posed by the fact that the lo tase is associated with them. The Ramban and the Chidushim, on the other hand, has a different approach over here, and he says that whenever you take a look at a mitzvah, you have to determine, when a mitzvah involves both an asay and a lo tase, you have to determine what is the primary part of the mitzvah, and what is the secondary part of the mitzvah. Whichever one is the primary part of the mitzvah, we only see the other item as being ancillary to that major part of the mitzvah. And he says in all of these cases that we list over here, the major part of the mitzvah is the asay. And therefore, they're deemed to be a mitzvah tasei. The lo tasei that is associated with them is just supportive of the fact that there is a mitzvah tasei. And therefore, in all of these cases, what we're really after or understanding is whether the woman is chayevet in the mitzvah tasei or not, because the lo tasei is not impactful over here. On the other hand, in the case of Yom Tov, the major mitzvah over there is the mitzvah lo tasei, not to do malacha on Yom Tov. And for that reason, the question of the Rabbeinu Yosef is not really a question, because there, the mitzvah tasei is ancillary to the lo tasei. And that means, in that case, even though it's a mitzvah tasei shazman grama, women will not be turot, because the major aspect of the mitzvah is the lo tasei kol melacha. Since it is the lo tasei kol melacha, that's what governs, and the mitzvah tasei is drawn after that, and so then, even if it was a zman grama, that would not eliminate the asei, because the lo tasei is the primary part of the mitzvah. And so the Ramban says, and in every mitzvah you have to look at, what is the primary thing that the Torah is after? And then the asay or the lota asay, one of them will be the primary aspect of the mitzvah, and the other aspect will just be supportive of it. And so in all these cases, the mitzvah asay is the primary aspect. Mitzvah lota asay is just supportive. And the opposite is true by Yom Tov, where the mitzvah lota asay is the primary aspect. Mitzvah asay is just supportive. And therefore, we would never invoke the principle of asay docha lota asay by Yom Tov. And in all the cases here of the mitzvah asay, if the woman was really pturah, because there was a mitzvah asay shalom van grama, that would also eliminate the mitzvah lota asay as well. And that's how the Ramban answers these questions and avoids the problems of the Balei HaTosafot. So now the Gemara says, Biklalahu, is this really a principle? Hare matzah, simcha, hakhel. All of these are items that are mitzvah tasei shazman grama. These are time-bound mitzvot. V'nashim chayavot. And women are obligated in these instances. V'tu. And on the other side, hare tamud Torah, which is the mitzvah tasei shelo hazman grama, as well as piriya, rivya, upidyona ben, which are all classified as not being time-bound mitzvot, the lav mitzvah tasei shazman gramahu, v'nashim turot, and women are turot. And again, that goes back to what we discussed on Chavtet with regards to why pidyon ben is not considered to be a time-bound mitzvah, even though the mitzvah only starts after 30 days. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein lemidim min haklalot, afilu malkom shneir b'chutz. Whenever a Mishnah gives a general principle and says, this is the klal, and even when it states the principle and says chutz, that there are exceptions to this principle, as if to indicate that the principle always stands with the exception of these exceptions, nevertheless, that's not a principle that we stand by and say is absolute. Ditnan, b'chol ma'arvin u'mishtatfim chutz min ha'mayim ve'umelach. That you're allowed to make, according to Tosafot, this is Erev Tchumin, whereas for Rashi, it's both Erev Tchumim and Erev Chatzirot, and Shituf Mivo'ot, those are the ability to create partnerships or locations on Shabbat to help you either with making into a Reshut HaYachid to be able to carry in those locations, or if Erev Tchumim to allow you to go a further distance in a certain direction beyond the 2,000 amot that you have in each direction. You can use any food item, Chutz Min HaMayim U'Melach, with the exception of water and salt. And as Rashi notes over here, you need in all these cases, Mida Dezaineh, something that provides sustenance, and that makes it the location or the living location of the individual. And that's why Tosafot rejects Rashi's explanation of Erev v'chatzerot, because there you require a pot, you require bread in that instance. But over here it's saying that any food item would work, with the exception of water and salt. The Gemara in Erevin says, Betuleka, aren't there other items that are excluded? Vayika k'meimu pitriot, aren't there items like mushrooms and fungi, which also are not things that grow from the ground, where Chazal seem they grow from the air, and therefore they're shehakol ni'avid varo, and they don't have the properties of zainei, and therefore they are not allowed to be used. Yet the Mishnah says you can use anything besides water and salt. But these are also items that are excluded. Ella, and lemidim min haklalot, you can't learn from general principles that are mentioned in a Mishnah, afilu b'makom shenemar b'chutz, even though, like in this instance, it says chutz and gives you the exceptions to the rule. Nevertheless, that's not an absolute rule, and you can't say, or you can't then extrapolate from that and assume that everything is included in the klal. And the same is true in our Mishnah, that when it gives the klal, that's a general principle, but not an absolute principle. And that's exactly what it's done. It's done to create a memory aid, or to help you in the majority of cases. And then you need to know all the exceptions. And even if it notes the exceptions, it still doesn't mean that there aren't other exceptions, but the klal is just a general principle to help you to approach this halacha in general. The fact that women are pturot from time-bound mitzvot, minalan. How do we know that's the case? It says, gamar mitfilin. We learn it out of tfilin. Ma tfilin nashim pturot. Just like the women are pturot from tfilin, afko mitzvot asei shazman grama nashim pturot. So too, any other time-bound mitzvah, women are pturot, exempt from keeping. Bitfilin, and how do we know that they are pturot by tfilin? Gamar la mi talmud Torah. They learn it out from the juxtaposition, the hekesh and the psukim between learning Torah and tefillin. Both in Shema and Vayayim Shamoa, there's a juxtaposition of tefillin and Talmud Torah. And as we learned earlier in the perek, that women are pterot from Talmud Torah because of Meratem Otamet B'neichem, B'neichem V'lo B'noteichem. And just like they are pterot from Talmud Torah, so too they are pterot from tefillin. And tefillin becomes the paradigm by which then we extrapolate to the whole Torah to teach us that any time-bound mitzvah, women are pturot. We'll see later on, probably on tomorrow's daf, why tefillin becomes such a central mitzvah and why we see that as being the paradigm when there are other mitzvot, for instance, Talmud Torah, which is a non-time-bound mitzvah, which are women are pturot, and we don't view that as the paradigm. It might be the fact that women are not completely pturot from Talmud Torah, as we learned in the Gemara back in Sulta, where we discussed women's obligation in Torah, and the fact that they might be obligated in certain limud to do the mitzvot that they are chayavot in, and therefore maybe it's not the best paradigm to use, and that's why the Gemara moves to tefillin as a more solid paradigm. But we'll see in tomorrow's daf, the psukim that indicate that tefillin might be a mitzvah that is used as a paradigm. So, ma talmud Torah nashim pturot, just like by learning Torah, women are pturot, av tefillin nashim pturot. So, Gemara says, v'nekish tefillin demizuzah. Why are you saying the juxtaposition of tefillin to Talmud Torah teaches they are pturot? Why don't we say the juxtaposition to mezuzah, uchtavtam al mezuzot beitecho visharecha, which is immediately after tefillin, and by mezuzah, the women are chayavot. So why don't we say the same thing by tefillin, that they are chayavot? It says, tefillin, le Talmud Torah itkish ben beparsha rishona ben beparsha shnia. When it comes to the juxtaposition of tefillin to Talmud Torah, that is true both in Shema, which is Vishinantam Livanecha, and then Yubukshartam Liot Al Yodecha. And so too, in the second parsha, where it says Vimaritem Otam Ibnechem, the Daber Bum, and that's also juxtaposed to Shartam Liot Al Yadchem, Vailu Totofo Bene Nechem. So the juxtaposition exists in both Shema, Vayayim Shamoa. On the other hand, Tefillin to Mezuzah, where the juxtaposition of Tefillin to Mezuzah is only true in Shema. Where we say ukshartam liot al yadecha vayilu totofo beninecha uchtavtam al mezuzot beitecha uvisharecha. But by parsha shnia and vayayim shemoa, Talmud Torah sits between tefillin and mezuzah. Lo itkish, and therefore there's no hekesh in that case. So Gemara says v'nekish mezuzah the Talmud Torah. If that's the case, why don't we make a hekesh between mezuzah and Talmud Torah, which in parshat vayayim shemoa is juxtaposed, and therefore you would say that just like the women are pterot from learning Torah, so too they are pterot from the mitzvah mezuzah. Or says, lo salkadatcha, you wouldn't come to that conclusion because the last pasuk in Vayayim Shemoa is, dichtiv, l'man yirbu yimechem, that, duchtav dema mezuzot beitecha, doing the mitzvah of mezuzah gives you the final pasuk, or the connection to the final pasuk, which is ribu yamim, is a long life. Gavrei bayichaye, nashe lo bayichaye, men need a long life, women don't need a long life. So, the reward that is mentioned next to mezuzah makes it applicable or relevant to women, irrespective of the fact that it is juxtaposed to Talmud Torah, and therefore mezuzah, because of its connection to Ribu Yamim, is equally applicable both to men and women, and women are chayavot in the mitzvah mezuzah. Tosafot over here raises an issue and says, well, you could say the same thing about Talmud Torah itself, because the Torah says, Ki heim chayecha ba'orech yamecha. It says about the Torah that will bring you long life, and that will keep you in good stead. So why don't we say the same thing by Talmud Torah in that instance? So Tosafot answers in the end that, Ein ochanami, maybe there is a pasuk by Talmud Torah, but nevertheless, by Talmud Torah we have a miut, a specific miut of lamadetem otam ibneichem v'lo binotechem, and for that reason, we would exclude women even though they have the kiyem chayecha. But to make a hekesh between mezuzah and Talmud Torah, if we have the connection to Laman Yerbu Yimechem Yivei Vinechem, that we would not do. So if you have a specific limud that is a miut, then we would say maybe mezuzah also they could be pterot. But without that miut or that specific miut, we wouldn't say that. But to say that a hekesh would then override the long life that is associated with mezuzah, that we wouldn't say. Or the other possibility is that pasuk is not speaking about the Torah, but rather about the mitzvot, and saying that you should keep the mitzvot that derive from the Torah in order that you have a long life, and then it wouldn't be a question from Talmud Torah because it's not speaking about the limud of Torah or the learning of Torah. Varei sukkah. What about the mitzvah of sukkah? The mitzvah aseh zman grama. It is a time-bound mitzvah which, based on our principle here, should say that women are pterot. Tichdei b'sukkot teshvu shivat yamim. It's limited to a 7-day duration. So again, according to both interpretations that we've seen about zman grama, it only comes about, time triggers the mitzvah, but also the fact that it is only for a limited amount of time. So, time of dichtiv rachmana ha'ezrach. Over there, the Gemara learns that the word ha'ezrach teaches us lotziyat nashim, to say that women are excluded. Halav hachi, had we not had the miut, nashim chayavot. Women would otherwise been chayavot in the mitzvah of sukkah. Well, why do I need a miut if they're always pterot from mitzvah aseh zman grama? So Amar Abaye, that's not a problem. Itzrich, salkadat chamin, I would have thought, hold dichtiv is sukkot teshvu, because it says that you should live in the sukkot, and we have a drasha on the Gemara in sukkahs, teshvu kein taduru, that you have to dwell in your sukkah the way that you would dwell in your house. Madira ishvishto, just like in a house, the whole family lives together, the husband and wife are together. Av sukkah ishvishto. So doing the sukkah, it requires that the husband and wife be there together. So I would have had a havamina to say that despite the fact that it's a time-bound mitzvah, women should still be chayavot. That's why I need a specific miut of ha'ezrach to tell me that despite this limud of teshuvah kein taduru, women are pterot. V'Rav Amar, Rav offers another alternative as to what we might have thought. Itzrich, salkadat chamina nilef chamishasar chamishasar mechagamatzot. I would have thought that you would have made the gezeirah shavah of Tedvav, the 15th of the month of Nisan and the 15th of the month of Tishrei, to teach you malahalan nashim chayavot, just like we know by matzah, women are chayavot, despite the fact that it is a mitzat aseh shazman grama. So I would have thought to bring that over, afkan nashim chayavot. So too, over here, I would have thought that women are chayavot in sukkah, because of that gezeirah shavah, and therefore tzricha, I need ha'ezrach to tell me, don't make that gezeirah shavah. Tosafot then questions about Pesach or matzah itself. Why would you think that women are pterot b'matzah? We have a principle that the Gemara brings down that there's a hekesh between matzah and chametz, telling you that anybody who is restricted in eating chametz also is obligated in the mitzvah of matzah. And from there we learn that women are chayavot to eat matzah. Tosafot says, why do I need that? Just have the gzeirah shavah of Tedvav from Sukkot. And Sukkah, had it not been for the word ezrach, would have said women are chayavot. And from that, we would also say by matzah they should be chayavot. So why do I need two limudim by matzah? So the Tosafot says, in the end, otherwise we wouldn't have known what to do with the word ezrach. V'yesh lomar, t'chor ha'itzrach l'taim d'chol she'eshno, d'ilo chazina mina d'nashim chayavot b'matzah, hava mina ezrach ata d'ribuya nashim. Because had it not been for that limud by matzah and chameit, I would have thought the word ha'ezrach is not coming to exclude women, but rather include women, and to say they are chayavot. So again, the limud by matzah sets the standard. Then we learn over to sukkah, and once we know by sukkah, then we have ezrach to come to tell you a patur. And then, why do I have to tell you patur? You should have been patur anyway. There's that possible havamina, either that I'll connect it to Pesach, or according to Abaye, that I would connect it to teshuvu kein taduru. Varei riyah. What about with regards to olat riyah? That when you come up to Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to come empty-handed. It says, lo yireu kol zirchucha. Et pnei Adon Hashem reikam, that you're not allowed to come up and see the Hashem or be seen by Hashem without anything in your hand. Those are the olot, the korbanot that you have to bring. The mitzvah that says Shazman Gramat is clearly a time-bound mitzvah that's connected to Yom Tov. The time of the Chlev Rachman is Zuchurcha. And only because it mentions in the pasuk that all males must do this, Lotzi Nashim, to exclude women. Halav Hachi, had it not been for that, Nashim Chayavot. Women would have been Chayavot. Marseh Zitzrich. Because I would have thought you learn out Gzeira Shava from Hakel, just like, because by Hakel it says, Bevokal Yisrael Leira Ot, and by Re'iyah, where it says, Yire'eh Kol Zerchucha Et Pnei Adon Hashem, so you would think that we would connect between those two Re'iyot, and therefore I would have said, just like by Hakel, the women are Chayavot, so too by Olat Re'iyah, they would be Chayavot. Along comes the word Zuchurcha to tell you don't make such a Gzeira Shava. Mar says, V'ada Yalfina mitfilin diptura. But instead of using tefillin as the paradigm to tell us that time-bound mitzvot, the women are pturot, Nelef misimcha lechiyuva. Let us say we'll learn out of the mitzvah of simcha, the requirement of simchat yom tov, to tell us that women are chayavot in time-bound mitzvot. It's because there's a requirement in the Torah, in Parshat Re'eh, with regards to the holidays, it says, V'samachta bechachecha, ada, uvincha, uvitecha, v'avdecha, v'amatecha, v'levi, v'agir, v'yatom, v'amanasher, bisharecha. And from uvitecha, your daughter as well, sounds like women are chayavot in the mitzvah of simcha. There's some that quote from Maaser Sheni, where it says over there also, v'chalta shem lifnei shem lakecha, v'samachta ata uvitecha, and there, beitecha, zu ishtecha. But either way, we see there's an obligation not only for the man or the husband to be happy and have simcha, there's also an obligation for the woman or the wife to be besimcha. And yet that's a mitzvah that says Shazman Grama. So Amar Abaye, Isha, Bala, Misamcha. The obligation with regards to the simcha of the woman or the wife does not derive from her, but rather it's an obligation on her husband to ensure that she is besimcha. Or in essence, some of the Rishonim formulate it this way, part of the mitzvah of simcha for the husband is to ensure that his family or that his wife is happy. So if that's the case, then the chiyuv or obligation does not sit on the woman herself, it sits on the husband. The woman is just the beneficiary of that because he has to ensure that she's also besimcha on Yom Tov. Now, Rashi over here claims that Isha Bala Misamcha, based on the Gemara in Psachim, means that the husband has to provide nice clothing for her and all those goodies that women like in order to make her happy on Yom Tov. Tosafot takes issue with Rashi's explanation because he says Rashi's explanation is only true when the Beit HaMikdash was not extant. Then, the mitzvah of Simcha changes from men to wine, for women to nice clothing, and to children to sweets and candies. But when the Beit HaMikdash is extant, the Simcha is the mitzvah of Shalmei Simcha. It's to bring korbanot shlamim and to eat basar v'yayin from the Shalmei Simcha, from the shlamim that are brought in the Mikdash, and that's equally applicable to men and women. And therefore, Tosafot says that Bala Misamcha, Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, Isha Bala Misamcha b'Shalmei Simcha Shalo, that he has to share his shlamim with his wife, Shechuva Mutalat Al Bala, that the obligation is on the husband to provide the shlamim for his wife to eat so that she can also be besimcha, and disagrees with Rashi's interpretation of that, bringing the Gemara in Psachim that says the simcha of the woman revolves around gifts or the goodies that the woman gets in order to have simchat yom tov post Churban HaBayit. And this might go to the machlok between Tosafot and Rambam in Moed Katan as to whether the mitzvah of simchat yom tov is d'oraita hayom, meaning that is it only mitzvah simcha d'oraita when you have shlamim, or when there are no shlamim, there is a mitzvah d'oraita still of simchat yom tov, but it just manifests itself differently. And maybe here you could entertain the possibility that Rashi and Tosafot are arguing about that point as to whether the mitzvah d'oraita of simcha does only can be accomplished through shlamim, or whether there are other ways to accomplish the mitzvah of simcha. Then the Gemara says, Amana ma'ikon meimar. What are you going to do about an amana? Because if we read the pasuk before, one of the individuals that has to be besimcha, Bincha, Bitecha, Avdecha, Vamatecha, Levi, Ger, Yatom, Vamana. Now an Amana is not married, so there's no husband over there to take care of her. So how can you claim that it means it's an obligation on the husband when here the Torah is telling you the Amana, the widow, has to be happy? It says, Bishruya, it's low. The obligation is not on the Amana herself to be Bisimcha or to make herself Bisimcha. Rather, the obligation is on those that live in her vicinity or know her to provide for her and make her happy. I mean, that the obligation here of simcha is not only on the individual themselves to be happy, but it's to make others happy as well. That includes his direct family, his wife, children, and all those that work for him, as well as people in the community who are less fortunate, like the ger, the atom, and the almanah. but not that the Almanah herself has a personal obligation to be besimcha. So therefore, simcha cannot be the paradigm, because there's no obligation on the woman herself. So nehalik mehakel. So why don't we use hakel as a precedence? Because over there, women are mentioned explicitly that they're chayavot to come to Yerushalayim to hear the kriya of the Torah from the melech. And it's a mitzvah aseh shazman guma. It's a time-bound mitzvah that only happens once every 7 years. And again, at a particular time. Because the mitzvah matzah, which is minyana d'yoma, that a woman is chayevet in matzah, just like a man on the first night of Pesach at the Seder, matzah t'chuva. And we learned that out. Again, we've seen this from Be'erev Tochlu Matzot, as well as the Hekesh between Chametz and Matzah, to tell you whoever is obligated to desist from Chametz is obligated to eat Matzah. Therefore, a woman is Chayevet in the midst of Matzah and Hakel. And then we have the principle, which we've discussed before, is when you have two psukim telling you the same information, they are an exclusion rather than an inclusion. They are telling you that these are not the paradigm, but rather the exception to the rule. And so here you have an exception to the rule regarding Hakel and Matzah, saying women are chayavot in time-bound mitzvot. When you have two psukim teaching you the same thing, they're not coming to make a binyan av, to establish a principle or a paradigm. They're coming to tell you that these are the exceptions to the rule. Marsezi hachi, if you can do the same thing with mitzvot aseh shazman grama that women are p'turot in. Yachi tefillin viriya nami. When it comes to tefillin and ri'iyah, you can say the same thing. Shnei ketuvim kabayim ke'achad. They are two psukim that teach you the same thing. Both by tefillin, we saw that women are p'turot from the mitzvah of tefillin because of the hekesh to Talmud Torah, as well as we just saw by olat ri'iyah, you have zechurcha teaching that women are p'turot from the mitzvah of ri'iyah or olat ri'iyah. So now you have two ketuvim that are also telling you that by time-bound mitzvah, women are p'turot. Ve'im alamdim. And they also should not be able to teach you. I mean, tefillin should no longer be able to be a paradigm, because I have another mitzvah that does the exact same thing, and therefore now these should be the exception to the rule rather than the rule itself. Gemara says, no, by the case of ri'iyah and tefillin, tzrichei, we need both psukim, because I wouldn't be able to learn one from the other. I couldn't establish one of them as a paradigm, because the other one would not obviously be learnt out of it. And that is, the ikatav rachmana tefillin, velo katav ri'iyah. Had the Torah only mentioned tefillin, that made a hekesh to Talmud Torah, so that women are p'turot, and not written the mitzvah of Riyah, meaning not limiting the mitzvah of Riyah to men. Havamina nelef Riyah Riyah mihakel. We learned out a gzeres shava from Hakel. And that's what we said before. You have the Riyah Riyah from Hakel. So without the specific miut by Ulat Riyah, we'd have connected between Hakel and Riyah. V'katav chanam Riyah, v'lo katav tefillin. Had the Torah written the mitzvah of Riyah, but not written tefillin. And as Tosafot notes over here, it doesn't mean it wouldn't write the mitzvah of tefillin at all, because otherwise how we'd know about the mitzvah? But rather, it would have placed the mitzvah of tefillin juxtaposed to Talmud Torah to teach you that women are p'turot mitefillin. It would have placed it somewhere else. So havamina ikish tefillin the mezuzah. Then I would have thought maybe the hekesh between tefillin and mezuzah tells me just like women are chayavot in mezuzah, they should be chayavot in tefillin. Tzricha. Therefore, I need both of them. So you can only say shnei kaduvim baim ke'achad ein melamdim. When you have two psukim telling you the same din, that those are the exception to the rule rather than the rule, that's only applicable when each one of them could have taught you the information, and that could have been a paradigm. And you could have learned all cases from it. Over here, the problem is that Riyah and Tefillin are not obvious. Just because you know about Tefillin, they're p'turot, doesn't mean you'll know that by Riyah. And same thing the other way. If you know about Riyah, doesn't mean you'll know that Tefillin are p'turot. And for that reason, the Torah has to write that women are p'turot in those two cases. And therefore, they don't become the exception to the rule anymore, but can be the paradigm because it was necessary to write both of them. Where it says, Yehochi, Matzah v'Hakel. Why don't you say the same thing by Matzah and Hakel, that you can say that they're shnei ketuvim bayim ke'achad, and you said that is teaching you that they are an exception to the rule rather than the rule where women are chayavot in time-bound mitzvot. You could also make a case there that you couldn't learn one from the other. Why do you need both of them? Makes sense. If the Torah had written the mitzvah of hakel, the lo katav matzah, and it didn't write that by mitzvah of matzah women are chayavot, we would have learned the gzeir shava to Chag HaSukkot, and by Chag HaSukkot, where women are p'turot, from the Tet Vav, we would learn also by matzah that they are p'turot. So that's why I needed to write matzah. If you just wrote hakel, matzah would not be sufficient. Ela nichtov rachmana matzah velo bayi hakel. But if you wrote the mitzvah of matzah, then you would have been able to extrapolate from that and learn by hakel that women are chayavot. Why is that? Because ana amina, tfelim chayavim, nashim lo koshikein. If you have to bring up the youngsters, the babies, to hear Hakel, then of course the women should certainly be Chayavot. Now Tosvot asks, based on that, then what is even the question of the Gemara over here? the question about Hakel, that you could have learned Hakel, it's not because you're learning out of Matzah, it's because you're learning out of a Kal Vachomer internal to Hakel. So it's not that because you know by Matzah, therefore you would know Hakel. Hakel internally requires women to go because you also require the youngsters to go. And if you say on Amin, it's Felim Chayvim Nashim Lo Kol Shekein, if the youngsters have to go, the women also have to go. So Tosafot says, V'yesh Lomar, Dilo Ktiv Nashim B'Matzah, had it not been for the fact that we knew that women are Chayavot to Matzah, Havamina, to be Kavachomer Lo Atu Nashim L'Chiyuva. I would not have made this Kavachomer to assume women are Chayavot in any time-bound mitzvah, because I have no paradigm that shows me otherwise. Once I have Matzah, I see that there are cases in time-bound mitzvot where women are Chayavot. And the Havamina would have been this, that youngsters who eventually will grow into a chiyuv, they are obligated to be brought to hakel. Women who will never be chayavot, maybe they should not have to be obligated in hakel. The paradigm of matzah teaches me that there are cases where mitzvot aseh azman grama makes women chayavot. And therefore, that's why I learned the Kal Vachomer over here. And I just had matzah. I wouldn't need it by hakel to tell me specifically, explicitly, that the women are chayavot. And the fact that it does tells you that these are the exception to the rule rather than the rule itself. It says, that works well according to the opinion who says that when you have two things teaching you the same thing, that's the exception to the rule rather than the rule. According to one who says that even two are not considered to be an exception to the rule until you have three. Three exceptions make it that these are the exceptions, not the rule. Then how do we explain this whole sugya? And that's a more generic question, not just specifically about the way that we're learning now, but in general here, how do we deal with them? And we're beyond that. How do we know that by a mitzvah asay that is not time-bound, that women are chayavot? And as the Ramban says over here, that is just not a natural outcome from the other side. You can't say, I mean, the mitzvah asay shel zman grama p'turot, mechalal shein zman grama chayavot. Because using such a diuk is only true when you use a hekesh to create the p'tur. So you have a hekesh that makes it patur, that implies in every other case you're chayav. But the way that we extend mitzvah aseh shehazman grama to be pturot is through a mematzinu. And that only tells us that where it matches up, they are pturot. But that doesn't necessarily tell you that where it doesn't match up, that they are automatically chayavot, or that you can make that diyuk. And that's what the Ramban says over here, of a hashta the gamrina b'mematzinu, you can only learn that which it teaches, but not even dayek, the opposite. Now, Tosfot says that the Gemara could have answered, we learn it out from Mezuzah. Mezuzah teaches us that non-time-bound mitzvot, women are chayavot, and that could have been another answer. The Gemara goes in a different direction, which gives you an alternative. And that is that the Gemara answers, the yalef mimora, that we learn it out from fear, which we saw before, that yirat avaim, over there it says tirou in plural, obligating both the man and the woman in the mitzvah of Yirat Ahorim, fearing one's parents. So ma mora nashim chayavot, just like my mora, which is not a time-bound mitzvah, women are chayavot. Av kol mitzvot aseh shelo azman grama nashim chayavot. So too, any non-time-bound mitzvah, women are chayavot in it. Tosfot then asks, well, if you could have used mezuzah, or you could have used mora, that means now I have two psukim teaching me the same thing, mora and mezuzah, and they should be shnei ketuvim abayim keechad, and aim alamdim. So Tosfot over here creates a tzrichuta that says I wouldn't be able to learn one from the other. Had I known the mitzvah of mezuzah, I wouldn't have necessarily learned out mora from mezuzah, because mezuzah they are obligated to do, but maybe mora they are pturot, because as we saw earlier, and we'll see again in tomorrow's daf, women may not have the ability to perform mora while they are married. Maybe when they're single they can, but when they're married they can't. And so maybe they would be exempt from the mitzvah of mora aveim. Or, if I just had mora aveim, the reason that that is special and women are chayavot is because there is a hekesh between yirat horim and yirat Hashem, and that makes it into a special mitzvah which would obligate women, but by mezuzah, maybe it wouldn't say that. Or, you could argue that mezuzah, we would have connected it to Talmud Torah and said maybe there they should be pturot. So we can't learn one from the other, and if that's the case, then it's not really a case of shnei ketuvim aveim be'echad. Gemara says, b'nei lef mi Talmud Torah. So then why don't we learn it out of Torah? Torah is a non-time bin-bound mitzvah, and yet women are pturot. Now, even though, as Tosfot points out over here, if you have a choice in terms of a hekesh, and you're going to learn out of Talmud Torah to be tatur, or you're going to learn out of mezuzah to be chayav, then we'd always go to Chumrah and say that she is chayavet. So the Gemara's question seems out of place in some sense, because even if you had a choice between Talmud Torah and mezuzah, you'd lean towards mezuzah, because we always make ish the Chumrah and not veikula. So Tosfot in the end says that we do have an offsetting factor over here, which is Talmud Torah is such a great mitzvah. It says it's such a great mitzvah, as he calls it, Yikara v'chaviva, precious and beloved, if they are Pturot in that mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then we should consider at least that maybe that's the paradigm, despite the fact that it is the Kula. Or, the other way around, we could also argue that Talmud Torah is a better paradigmatic mitzvah than Morah Av Ve'Eim, as we've seen already, that shiny Morah Ve'Eim, because it's Hukash, the Morah Makom. And so if that's the case, then maybe that's an unusual mitzvah, and that should not be the paradigm. So for those two reasons, the Gemara entertains here the possibility that Talmud Torah would become the paradigm, and in non-time-bound mitzvot, women would also be Pturot. Ishem davalei Talmud Torah upiria revivia shnei k'tuvim abayim kechad. Because in non-time-bound mitzvot, we have Torah learning, as well as the mitzvah upiria revivia, which we've spoken out both of these earlier in this Masechta. And in both instances, women are Pturot. So then again, that's two psukim teaching you the same din. V'chol shnei k'tuvim abayim kechad, ein melamdim. Whenever you have two psukim teaching you the same thing, then they are the exception to the rule and not the rule. So at this point in the Gemara, we're going to continue with this tomorrow. We have, first of all, in terms of establishing mitzvah taseh shazman grama, that women are pturot, we learn that out from tefillin, and tefillin becomes the paradigm by which we learn it. We can't say that tefillin and ri'iyah are a shnei k'tuvim abayim kechad, because we said you can't learn out tefillin and ri'iyah from each other. As far as learning out mitzvah taseh shazman grama, that maybe women should be chayavot, because we have the paradigms of matzah and hakel, there we said those are shnei k'tuvim abayim kechad. And since they are two psukim teaching you the same thing, you can't use that as a paradigm. And from the mitzvah of simcha, we said you can't learn, because bala misamcho, that's not an obligation of the woman, but rather on another party to make her happy. As far as the fact that mitzvah taseh shelo azman grama, that women are chayavot, we learn that out either from morah, yirat haorim, or from mezuzah. And as Tosfo pointed out over here, there's a tzrichuta, you wouldn't have been able to learn one from the other, and therefore they are not shnei k'tuvim abayim k'achad. And that teaches you that any mitzvah taseh shelo azman grama, women are chayavot. And as far as mitzvah taseh shelo azman grama, non-time bound mitzvah, that women are pturot, we do have two examples of that, Talmud Torah and Piriya Rivya, but as the Gemara notes over here, those are shnei k'tuvim ha-ba'im ke'achad, and since they're shnei k'tuvim ha-ba'im ke'achad, ein melamdim, they are not a paradigm or a precedence. So therefore, the paradigms for time-bound mitzvah that you're pturot are tefillin and ri'iyah, and the paradigms for mitzvah taseh shelo zman grama that you are chayavot are morah ve'eim and mezuzah. In both those cases, we created a tzrichuta to say that they're not shnei k'tuvim ha-ba'im ke'achad, whereas by the case of time-bound mitzvot, where women are chayavot, we said there that matzah and hakel are two mitzvot, and therefore they are the exception to the rule. And by mitzvot asay shelo azman grama, where women are pturot, Talmud Torah and Piri Rivya, they're also two psukim that are teaching you the same thing. And since here you have two teaching you the same thing in both those instances, they become the exception to the rule rather than the rule itself. So we're going to stop here at the last line of Lamed Daled Amud Bet.